The following telephone recordings were made in January of 1979 from the Atlanta Trinity Step, a number one step office in Midtown Atlanta, Georgia, which has five regular prefixes in it, one telephone company prefix, and one mass calling prefix. I've selected this particular group of calls because they contain the kind of sounds that you would hear if you were actually served out of a number one step office. And so many of you who actually lived in places where number one step was your telephone service will recognize many of these sounds. Now, I already have a pretty comprehensive tape on the Raleigh downtown step, but one of the things that you don't hear on that tape is a call like this. By the time I got to Raleigh in 1979, the double ring had been eliminated. But in Atlanta, the double ring remained for all the big steps until they cut them out. In this neighborhood where I used to live, you could walk down the street and you'd hear phones ringing with that double ring, which was a leftover from the days of four-party lines. Being on a four-party line meant that your phone would ring not only for your phone calls, but for the phone calls as well of another customer. And you'd know the difference between theirs and yours by the presence of either a single or a double ring. Now, by the time the 70s rolled around, four-party lines were gone, and two-party lines were rare. But the power distribution system had been set up years ago and really was never changed. So you had a lot of single-party telephone lines ringing with double ring. And generally, it went by the 100 group. That is, certain 100 groups would have double ring and others would have single ring. This next call goes directly from this step to the 6-2 step, which is in southeast Atlanta. It's another number one step. You'll notice that when we dial the second digit, there's trunk noise and dial pulsing in the background. This call ends up on the supervision test in the 6-2 office. In the Bell system, big steps had supervision tests which sounded like that. Sometimes the tone wouldn't be there, though. Here's a supervision test within the Trinity step that has no tone. Boy, you can really hear that thing working. I mean, just from the sounds of it, you can tell that it uses the reorder timing to know how long to go off and on hook, and also there's a stepping switch that you can hear resetting when it hangs up. When making a local call from one number one step to another, the background noise on the line changes between every digit, except for the last two digits. I'll comment on this as we go along on this slowly dialed call to the 6-2 step. This is the sound of my idle phone line when it's hung up. You hear two dial tones beating here, and that's because the 87 Trinity step happens to have two ringing machines in the building. One of them handles incoming calls to 872, 4, and 6. The other one handles calls to 873, 875, and 877. So with two tone plants in the building, each producing a dial tone, that means half the lines have one, half the lines have the other, and you get them both leaking through onto the common power, and ta-da, beating dial tones. Now I'll pick up and dial a 6. This is a very similar sound. This is what the selectors in the Trinity step sound like when they're waiting for a digit. The reason we hear this sound is because the selector is waiting for us to dial a digit, and while it's doing that, it is supplying power to tip and ring, and the power it's using is unbalanced. There's no reason to go to the trouble of making it absolutely silent because we don't have a phone call yet. So certain qualities of the central office power, as well as other crosstalk, tend to come through on the unbalanced power that's used at this point. Now, the fact that we mainly hear the two dial tones in this office is a signature trait of this particular building, and each building has its own different power supply noise signature. The Trinity step happens to have this one. Once we dial the next digit, which in this case is a 2, this selector will become transparent as far as tip and ring are concerned, and it will extend tip and ring right through to a trunk circuit, which interfaces to the wire trunk to the 6-2 step in Southeast Atlanta. There. Well, it isn't exactly quiet here, is it? And that's because we're now on a trunk to another step. At the distant end, in the Lakewood Central Office, 6-2, Market is the exchange name, there's another selector waiting for a digit, and it's again using, you guessed it, unbalanced power. But the Market step is in a different building, and that building has a different power supply signature. In this, we hear two main components. There's a single dial tone instead of two beating, because the Lakewood Market step only has one tone plant in use at a time down there. It's not so big. So there's just one dial tone, but there's also a whining noise. I'm using editing here to emphasize this characteristic, and what causes this is anybody's guess. It's just in the CO power for some reason. There's also some dial pulse crosstalk. And there are several ways that that can happen. First, the two wires that this call is going over from this part of Atlanta down to that part are running alongside other wire pairs. And when calls are going through on those, the dial pulses leak over. Secondly, we are now sitting on a selector in the 6-2 step, and it is using unbalanced power. The unbalanced power causes dial pulses that are being dialed into other selectors to leak into this one just through the power. And thirdly, we are picking up some dial pulses through the microphonics of the relays in this selector. And so those pick up the vibration through the rack they're mounted on of other relays clicking along with dialing. So along with the electrical clicks of the pulsing, you actually hear the sound of the selector that you would hear if you were standing in the CO, which would sound like this. So in this example, you can actually hear that acoustic sound plus the pulsing sound that you get on long wire trunks between offices. Here's another one where you can hear the acoustic sound plus the pulsing crosstalk from a nearby selector through the common power supply, but not the wire trunk sound. Both of those examples contained the acoustic sound, but the click part was different from one to the other. This is just an example of the way the old network really sounded. If anybody out there is thinking about using a computer to simulate the sound of the old network, please don't, because you'd really be missing the point. What makes these old tapes wonderful is when you listen to them, you can just observe more and more and more, and it's the opposite of digital, because digital gets down to ones and zeros, and then there's nothing else to see. This is more like looking into a very analog telescope. With more magnification, you see more things, and there's just no limit to what you pick up in this universe. As I dial each of the next three digits, you'll hear a subtle change in the background noise, and that's because each time we dial a digit, the selector we're on in the 6-2 step cuts through to another selector, and its unbalanced power sounds slightly different from the last one because it's in a different part of the office, and that's the way these power grids worked. If you tap into the power supply at different points in the building, it sounds a little different. And through all of this, of course, we'll continue to hear dial pulse crosstalk from the three sources that I mentioned before. This selector, which takes the thousands digit, is slightly quieter than the last one. That was crosstalk through the common power. This one sounds almost identical to the last one. That was crosstalk through the common power again. When I dial the next digit, we will go into the connector switch. That's the final switch in step that takes the last two digits, starts the ring, and actually maintains the call through the actual telephone conversation. Now, connector switches have to have balanced power, because they're the ones that actually have a conversation on them. And so, since a connector switch has balanced power, we'll hear that as soon as we go into it. The dial tone sound that you're hearing in the background now, along with the whining noise, will disappear. You might have noticed that there was the sound of a step supervision test starting to be called there in the background. Alrighty then, that was a short phone call, wasn't it, folks? But hey, it's the journey, not the destination. I promise I won't dial anything else that slowly on this tape. So the 6-2 step has that dial tone, combined with that whining noise that reminds me a little bit of a jet engine, on its unbalanced power. Let's see what the 3-7 step, that's DR Drake, in the Eastlake Central Office, just south of Decatur, see what it has on its unbalanced power.
Thank you.
child of three and hears that familiar Trinity step noise. That crosstalk came through the common power. Now dialing a 7 to go into the Drake central office. As you can hear, there's a reorder in the background, and that's just a characteristic of the power supply that you get on the selectors in the Drake step. Trinity step has the two dial tones, the Drake step has the reorder. There's a high-pitched component that we hear too, but in this case, it's not a part of the Drake power supply signature. Instead, this is caused by adjacent trunks in this trunk group from Trinity to Drake, oscillating while they are idle. The trunks have repeaters, and when they're not in use, the repeaters go into oscillation. This one doesn't hum as much as the other trunks to Drake. Now I'm going to dial the hundreds digit, which will put us into the connector switch, which of course again has balanced power. Now normally that makes the hums reduce, but this particular inter-office trunk is a little unbalanced, and the effect of that is that it hums less on the unbalanced power of the selectors, and hums more on the balanced power of the connector. You'll see what I mean here. Well, let's see, how about another step, the 6-3 step in Toco Hills, exchange name Melrose. It has a different power supply signature on its selectors. Let's dial 6-3. Toco Hills doesn't have a lot of distinct noise on its unbalanced power on the selectors, just kind of a nondescript hum. This selector that we just came into sounds different, but still, there's no tone plant noise on the selectors in Toco Hills. It just has various harmonics of 60 Hz. Now that we're down to the last two digits, it gets quieter again. This trunk, like most interoffice wire trunks, does have some high-pitched tones, again caused by adjacent trunks in the group oscillating while idle. Now that it's ringing, you can hear one thing that is distinctive about Toco Hills, and that is that in between ring bursts, the power supply that's on the line isn't silent at all. It actually has dial tone and reorder in the background. Okay, now let's dial a double ring in the Drake step. You'll hear reorder on its selectors, but no particular tone plant noises in between the ring bursts. That was crosstalk from another interoffice trunk, the last five digits, of course. So far, we've been dialing around in an all-step universe, which means that everything we've done has been directly controlled by the subscriber dial. But now let's call a crossbar 5. We'll dial 3-5, which goes into the Woodland Hills crossbar 5 office. Crossbar 5s use balanced power on trunks of this type from steps during the dialing process. Therefore, there isn't any hum or central office-oriented noise. Now, that was a little step noise there that occasionally will leak in just because we're calling from a step. With the volume way up now, you can hear that this trunk is pretty quiet. It's got the usual wireline squeals. Since we're calling into a crossbar 5, our subscriber dial is simply causing the incoming register to store the digits we're dialing. And so you don't hear those step noises or changes of the hum or anything like that. It's only when we dial the last digit that the register calls the marker, and then the connection from this trunk to the line is set up all at once. This is a call to the supervision test. I'll now dial the last digit. You'll hear the trunk hum just for a few milliseconds before the ring starts. This 3-5 office has a distinctive sound which you're hearing under the ticks right now. I'm filtering the sound from the tape to emphasize this. I have no idea what this is coming from, but the Woodland Hills central office has it. Everywhere there's unbalanced power. We'll call a Woodland Hills busy signal next, and you'll hear it under the busy. This trunk has a very typical interoffice wire trunk sound. Woodland Hills 3-5 signature noise is on the busy signal too. I'll filter out the tone so it's emphasized. And here's that noise again, this time under the busy signal. Everything we've heard so far was recorded from my home phone line in the Trinity Step, but now let's go on a little bit of a field trip. Let's leave the Trinity Step for a minute and drive to another Atlanta neighborhood. I won't tell you which one it is, but let's walk up to this payphone here, drop a dime in, get a dial tone, and dial one digit. The central office noise signatures that I've been pointing out enabled us to know where we were, and it made the network interesting. Now that you've heard them, I'm sure you could easily identify any of these particular central offices if you cared to. Not that you'd care to memorize this information, but where are we now? Well, this is that same power supply noise that we heard calling into the Drake Step. So here we are in the Drake neighborhood. Now let's go to another payphone. Yes, this is the distinctive whine of the Woodland Hills Crossbar 5 office. It's also a very busy time of day because, that other noise you hear, all that sort of pitter-patter noise, is actually the connections being made. Like all central office noise signatures, the Woodland Hills one does sound different as heard through different viewpoints. On the originating register, it has more of a buzzy sound. But the same thing as heard through the supervision test ticking over a trunk from Trinity is more smoothed out. It has more of a sine wave sound. But it's the same thing, you're just hearing it from another point of view. Okay, and now let's go to one more neighborhood, pick up a phone and dial one digit. We know this is a step by the cut-in noise we got at the end of the digit, and so we're sitting here on a second selector, and it is indeed the, well, you know this sound. Soft dial tone, jet engine-like whining. Yes, this of course is the Lakewood Central Office Market Step. And here's one more example. The big steps in the Atlanta area were arranged so that if you just dialed an 8, you'd go right to the Trinity Step. So if we pick up a payphone in Smyrna, put in a dime and dial 8, it's on T-Carrier, but you can hear the Trinity signature sound, the beating dial tones, all the way from Smyrna. This recording from Smyrna was made 2.5 years earlier, in the fall of 77. Well, that's it for this segment. The next part, Supplemental Sounds of Step Part 3, contains more of these high-quality recordings of the Trinity Step, made with an open reel tape deck. I'll be dialing faster. It'll also include a demonstration of the other way to call long distance from a step phone line, which many remember oh so well.
Your number, please.
Your number, please.
Your number, please.
Hard to believe that that was still happening even into the early 1980s. Anyway, that's all in the next segment.